I'm just taking a little bit of time out. I try to take out 10 minutes a day to have my feet in a foot bath. Most of the year it's a cold foot bath, but about this time of year there's a bit of kettle hot water goes in with a tiny touch of bubble bath or some lavender. If you can keep your feet really healthy, the rest of you will sort of, health upwise. I mean, if you're really cold, the first thing to do is to put on two pairs of socks and something warm so that, you're distancing yourself from the coldness which is coming up through the floor. So I do try and take a lot of care of my feet. Anyway, how long can you have wines open for? Well, ever since about 2015, I've often had quite a number of red wines open because people have asked me, could you do a tasting on, a whole range of Merlots and tell me which one is the best? So in about 2015, I actually had open, I never do things by halves, I had 11 bottles of low-priced Merlot open. The most expensive one was the Villa Maria from New Zealand, and that was absolutely the most, scrumptious wine on opening. But even one day later, it just faded off. And for me, a wine, I know that often enough, especially with friends, you're going to open a bottle and consume it on the day, but a wine has to show its potential on the second or third day for me to feel that the wine has got a lot going for it. And so that one just didn't really stand up to my testing. What I was looking for in a wine that I wanted to recommend, you've got to bear in mind that wine was about £12 at the time, which would be a lot more now. So yeah, it was expensive, it was lovely, but it just didn't meet my test criteria. The one which won in the end, and it was a close thing, there was a lovely Romanian Merlot. Eastern Europeans can be very rewarding and quite cheap. So definitely, most of the shops these days have the wines, even if it's not obvious, they have the wines in countries. So if you look, you'll see all the French are in the aisle, and then next to them there'll be the Italian and so on. Have a look around, especially like at the bottom of the German or Italian wines, and you should find some Eastern European wines. But the two wines which actually came out of the testing, and I had very specific criteria, and I took about, at least a week to 10 days to come up with my definition. The two wines were Isla Nigra and Jacob's Creek, and I had tried 11, and those were the only two which met all my criteria, which was that the wine had to be fairly evenly balanced over the number of days it was open. It had to be fruity, delicious, and just, it just had to stay the course. And I think most of the wines either just weren't very full-bodied or they dulled over during the time. But those two certainly were actually streets ahead of the others. And they're not two wines or even two brands that I personally would go out and regularly buy. In fact, I probably don't even buy one every 2 years. But they came to the top of it. And the point that I'm trying to make is because I was doing that tasting and I had so many wines open and I didn't want to, drink excessively, probably the wines were open for at least 2 weeks altogether. And they were just on the side here between the oven and my kettle, so they're subject to a bit of warmth from time to time, with the corks or the screw caps in place. And I've always done that. And if a wine can't stand up to that treatment, then I just never buy it again, because for me, the first thing is a wine has to be open for some days, because I've always got at least two reds opened, because I don't want to just drink one bottle. I like to contrast them. You can see that through my Chiro tastings. And the wine has got to mature a little bit and become better in day 2, 3, 4, but it's got to stay the course for any other days I've got it open. Now, if I've got two wines open, they'll probably stay open for 5 to 7 days max. But if I've got more than that open, they might stay open for about 10 days before I've drunk them all. So red wines, you know, anything from, say, £8 up to £16, they should live quite comfortably on your kitchen top, around the kettle. Fine. You never, ever need to put them in the fridge. Never put red wines in the fridge unless it's hot summer and you want a chilled, light-bodied wine like a Beaujolais or a Margaret River Shiraz or a light Sangiovese. And then you might find that that's, you know, worth... I mean, you can put it in the fridge for as long as you like, but 20 minutes is perfectly sufficient. Just chill it enough, and then you can, if you wish, slice strawberries into it, which is what I do all the way through June. So, you know, red wines are very robust things. They don't need any worrying about. And I don't think most people have any idea. They just buy one bottle of red wine of a weekend at the garage, and they then drink that as soon as they possibly can. Whereas I always have at least 2 and sometimes 4 red wines open, which I can dip into as and when. And what I actually do is, on a Wednesday and a Friday, I have a red meat dish, usually some lamb and then some beef. And so I'll have red wines specifically on those 2 days. I might have some on a Saturday, but the white wines, or sparkling or rosé, I then have those on Thursday, maybe with some turkey or fish, and Sunday with whatever I'm having on Sunday. And obviously, you know, the food pairing and wine is important, but you can drink red wine with fish, it's fine, you know, no difficulty at all. You can drink white wine with lamb if you want. It doesn't matter, as long as you're in the mood for the wine that you've got. And sometimes I've pre-planned, say, that I'm going to have rosé and white from the fridge on a Thursday, and I'm just in a red wine mood, so I'll just, you know, do my Thursday meal on Friday, my Friday meal on Thursday, whatever. So white wines and rosés will happily live in your fridge door for a month easily, but of course they're not very likely to unless you've got an awful lot of them open. But you know, there's no rush to open a wine and drink it up. Now, if you want a much more long-lived wine, even than this, buy a box of wine. Boxed wine, for some reason, stays fresh far, far longer. I'm not really sure of the science behind that, and I don't buy any boxed wine at present myself. And the main reason for that is that if I bought a box of red, I'll have 3 bottles of red in there, but I'll have the same 3 bottles. Now, you can probably tell from my wine blog that I like to open 2 different wines every week, 2 reds and 2 whites. And throughout the year, I'm trying to find wines most suitable for the season. So it doesn't therefore please me to have 3 bottles of the same red wine open. If I had guests, it would be worth a thought. I mean, just from the shops, a really, really good red wine is the beefsteak Malbec. You won't go wrong with that. If you buy that in a box, that's fantastic. If you're looking at Laithwaite's, I would recommend their Stones and Bones. That is one red wine I would consider having as a naughty extra tipple that I tell no one about. You know, that would be fine because it will keep 3 weeks easily, so I'm only consuming an extra bottle every week. But boxed wines are best for parties and long weekends with friends. So I mostly drink whites, and there are 2 very specific types of whites. There's the whites that have had malolactic fermentation, which results in a buttercream, you know, much more dense texture. So those are the creamy white wines. They're fantastic with food. but also the really crisp mineral wines like usually a Riesling or a Sauvignon Blanc, and most unoaked white wines as well. And they are very crisp mineral, maybe some floral and some fruit notes. And those are best for, you know, really hot summer days. So I mix it up a little bit with the odd rosé. There's very few rosés, rosatas, that I really, really enjoy. I think this is an area of winemaking which is totally neglected. It's very rare that you ever find out what the grapes are in any pink wine. It's just almost a throwaway product that the vineyard creates to bring in some quick cash. I've got one bottle of rosé which is 2018. It's a really top quality Bordeaux. But in general, a rosé, you just buy it and drink it. You know, you certainly wouldn't bother keeping it in a bottle because it's not going to mature in the bottle. And that says a lot for the, you know, the ethics of the winemaking and the usefulness of it. So the main reason that I drink pinks is just they look nice. You know, they cheer you up. That is about it, really. I have had a Beaujolais rosé, which is very, very impressive. And I like Rhone rosés. And I tried to get around the world in rosés, a particularly nice Cinzo one from South Africa, which I like. But, you know, when you get to things like Pinot Grigio and Sauvignon Blanc Blush, you're really scraping the barrel because it's just the normal wine, great, and somehow or other they've thrown a tiny bit of pink in it, so it looks sort of off-white. And that is vanity. I mean, how desperate are you for some variety, for goodness sake? You know, just go and buy a Riesling instead. So, I mean, white wines and rosés will live quite happily on your top. It's just that most people prefer them at a colder temperature, so that's why I tend to put them in the fridge. You can go right as cheap as chips with a white wine. If it's well chilled, it can cost £4 from Tesco's. Their Australian Sauvignon and Australian Chardonnay are perfectly good examples of a wine that if it's chilled well, it's going to be fine in your glass. It's not going to be anything special, but it'll definitely be more refreshing than a cup of Marmite. So what about sparkling wines? Well, how disciplined are you? Now, I have a student who's 85 and she regularly drinks champagne, but she says, and she has all the gadgets, you know, she has an opener for the cork and she has all sorts of things which you put in the top of the bottle so that the fizz remains, and she says that she drinks a third of the bottle over 3 days. That's amazing. I've never been that disciplined. I sometimes attempt to open a bottle of sparkling wine and only drink half the bottle one day and half the next day. But the reality is, you know, if I've got a 2 day thing like that, which might be Christmas Eve and Christmas Day or New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, particularly like to have quality sparkling wines on those two weekends, I'm more likely to just open two, like a rosé and a brut, because realistically I'm not going to manage to not drink the bottle once it's open. They, you know, sparkling wines just do go down remarkably fabulously well, and for some reason psychologically you think because it's got bubbles in it, it's not particularly alcoholic. So my only suggestion there is just try to pace yourself. So you start drinking at lunchtime and try to finish the bottle mid-evening, because the chances are high that you'll drink other alcoholic drinks as well and you will get incredibly tipsy and think you're wonderfully sober and you'll talk a load of gobbledygook and all your friends will just raise their eyebrows at you. It's quite a good idea to drink those sort of drinks alone, in fact, and don't, you know, tweet or anything like that whilst inebriated, because you just end up making yourself look like a Wally. That's just a tip. I never myself mind looking like a Wally, so it doesn't trouble me in the least. But so there you are. It's a good thing to have some spirits in as well. So white spirits in the summer, brown spirits in the winter, and you know, you might want a little bit of extra cheap and cheerful red wine for mulling. But don't forget, you can also mull cider. That can be really fantastic. Chop up some apple in there, put a bit of lemon juice in, touch of brown sugar or honey, and away you go. And all these things have been traditionally, over centuries, the way in which we, you know, wend off colds and sickness in the winter. So, you know, don't underestimate the power of a good noggin. Last thing at night as well, you know, they do say, and I suspect they're right, that if you just have one measure of spirits every night on going to bed, it's absolutely optimal for your health. Wonderful. There's also an idea that you shouldn't eat late at night, but I haven't got into that one yet. But anyway, yeah, don't worry about red wines. They will keep for days and days and days next to your kettle, for goodness sake. White wines and rosés in the fridge. Sparkling wine, I often put it into the freezer for half an hour and then into the fridge. But it's not going to last any time at all, so it probably doesn't need to worry too much about the fridge, you know. If you have a wine chiller, well done. I don't have a wine chiller because if I see the wines and they're cold, you know, I'm more likely to drink them. So, which bottles of wine should you buy if you want them to mature in your cellar? And that's the topic for the next aspects audio. Thank you for listening in. Keep looking in daily. winezo.uk. All the best tips, news, reviews, interviews, and of course, loads of discounts, plus music.